Kevin, what are you doing here?
Merry Christmas, Bean.
Merry Christmas? How did you get past the electrified fence?
Rubberized bolt cutters.
And the moat?
Swam. Good thing my pleather jacket is waterproof.
Yeah. So what can I do for you?
Well, it sure is cold out here. Can I come in?
No. Anything else?
Well, we've been partners for a long time, Bean, and I know we don't have much in common. In fact, we don't see eye to eye on anything, really. But this year, I wanted to give you a special Christmas present in person.
Wow, that is really nice, Kevin.
Merry Christmas, Bean.
Merry Christmas, Kevin.
Ow! What the f*** was that all about?
Well, I'll tell you, Bean, in a song.
I'll punch you in the face for Christmas, because you're not like me. You like things that I don't like. Sometimes we disagree. And so my gut reaction, as crazy as it seems, is to punch you in the face for Christmas and for enjoying the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh, hold on a minute. That last line didn't even rhyme.
Okay, never mind.
Merry Christmas, Bean.
Merry Christmas, Kevin.
Oh, I forgot to ask how he got across the minefield. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ.
It's time for a feature that we like to call...
That's that info, Bean!
Oh, no.
My friend,
we got such a busy show today. We don't have time to just stop down to make fun of me.
My friend Bean is interested in everything.
I thought once he had the blog up and rolling, that it would serve as sort of like a shunt or a drain or something.
A release valve.
Exactly.
He's Doc Jr. Doc is the guy who walks around here, and he's been thinking something for a long time, but he's having no conversation with anyone else. And so he'll say something totally obscure. You have no idea why he said it, what he's talking about. It's just, it's endless. Yeah. And we try our best to keep that off the air here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We do our best to rein Bean in and try to keep him focused on what we're talking about. Every once in a while, unfortunately, like a couple of days ago, it does spill onto the air, and this is what you heard.
Today is like today's the greatest day of the year for me. It's Betty White's birthday. Today is the first Postmaster General of the United States' birthday, Ben Franklin. And today is the Pluto launch. I mean, it's like the trifecta. Aren't you guys just excited and alive with just thrilled to be here?
Okay, so we apologize for that. Most of the time, we get that kind of stuff while the songs are playing. So we're sitting here, and Bean talks, and we all look at him like, why would we ever care about that? But he's reading the paper, reading something, he found it interesting, and he just has to share it.
Sorry, we're out of time.
We gotta move on.
There's no filter that says, hey, maybe the people who are listening to me right now don't care about what I'm talking about.
Why are raisins so good?
Yeah, he'll say stuff like that. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So I've been writing them down for a little while.
And, why don't I ever learn?
I mean, if you could give me the old music that you used to use for Big Tad, I think that would help this bit a little bit. Because I think it would just kind of underscore the ridiculousness of the things that you say. There you go.
So this, by the way, that's the ultimate insult. Yeah, is give me the Big Tad music. Come on.
So we're playing a song, and off the air, while you people are listening to a good song, we hear, why is Cinnamon Crunch the best cereal ever?
Yeah. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, first of all, and it just is.
Well, but then why did you ask us if it just is?
But see, here's the thing. We weren't talking about good cereals at the time.
It was rhetorical, Lisa.
All right, here's one of my favorites. Do you know that Tennessee has more caves than any other state in America?
I remember this comment.
And so none of us said a word. I wrote down nothing. And then Bean went on. It has over 8,800 caves.
Hey, that's interesting.
And then no one said anything. And then Bean went on. I was reading Ranger Rick at my doctor's office.
Ranger Rick.
That's where he got it from.
It's a magazine for 10-year-old boys, you know.
Bean said out of the blue, do you know that bats are the only mammal that can fly?
See?
Not interesting.
Bean said out of the blue, the cool thing about the mailman uniforms is that the stripes on the pants make your legs look longer.
That's just an added benefit. As if being a mailman isn't enough, it's also very fashion conscious.
The new German Chancellor Angela Merkel had to overcome a serious childhood fear of walking downhill or downstairs.
Now that, I've never heard of anyone having that before. Have you?
Well, no, but we weren't talking about fears or you know, prime ministers.
Or Germans. Or chancellors.
None of them.
Being afraid of walking downstairs. That's freaky. I've never heard of that before. I thought that was interesting.
The electric eel is not an eel. No one said anything. Then he continued. It's a fish that looks like an eel. No one said anything. Did you know that grape nut cereal was created by CW Post? Now, at this point, Lisa said, and I wrote it down verbatim, I think I hate you. And then Bean went on. He didn't just market it. He also created it.
Oh, dear God.
I wish I had a salted nut bar.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Sometimes you're just in the mood.
I think he hasn't salted nuts, period.
I think that's a gay reference. And this is the only one that I will give him that we were actually talking about stamps at the time.
Okay. Thank you.
But I want to tell you this anyway because it's spectacular. I won't put a stamp on an envelope if I have a philosophical disagreement with that stamp.
I remember this one.
He has philosophical differences with stamps.
I will not use the Frank Lloyd Wright stamp, that Nazi architect.
And he was really like angry about it. Like, that stamp will never see my envelope.
What stamps are you having problems with? What's a stamp?
Well, I don't remember because I don't buy those. I'll go to the post office and they'll say, we've got this guy, this guy, this guy. And if that middle guy is a guy I hate, forget it, man. He gets out of my business.
Who could you be hating that they would put on a stamp?
I can't remember what the context was for that remark, but I do have that policy.
Most of us just lick whatever it is and put it on the envelope. You have a philosophical difference with a stamp.
Look, you've got to stand for something, okay?
Or you'll fall for anything.
Exactly. So there you go. That's another episode of
That Info.
It's the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show. Bean is a baby.
What are we talking about?
All right, here's
here?
here's the thing, Lisa. And I'm not even going to look at Ralph and Kevin for this because they hurt
men.
Because they hurt me.
You're going to break into tears?
So I go to the guys and I say, because I think we're friends and I always forget that I like them, but they don't like me.
Right.
I go to the guys and I say, yeah, it was funny. I was in the car. I was driving to Los Angeles from Las Vegas this weekend and I heard the song on the radio that was really, it was emotional. I mean, I'd heard the song before, but it's just one of those things that just hit me and I was like kind of crying a little bit, you know?
You told them that?
I did tell them.
What is wrong with you?
Big mistake.
By the way, if I might just, it was a CB song. It was a song about a little crippled kid on a CB radio.
Yeah, this little kid's dad died in a trucking accident a couple months before, and the little kid is on the CB radio. He's home alone because his mom has to work two jobs to make up for the loss of income from dad being there, right?
By the way, this
mom's working the truck stop.
This story could only be told with country music.
And he is a little crippled kid in a wheelchair, and he's on talking to these truckers. And he says, you know, I love my dad and I miss my dad, but I'm really going to miss being able to, I know I'm never going to be able to go for a ride in the big rig. And that's my favorite thing in the world to do. Right? And this truck driver's...
Oh, dad, I miss the Peterbilt. That's what he's saying.
So this trucker is talking to him, and the kid just said, well, I better go. Thanks a lot for talking to me. It's really cheered me up. And then the trucker picks up the conversation on the CB.
I came back, and I said, before you go, 1010...
You understand Bean was listening to this on the way to Vegas.
Before you go, 1010... What's your home 20, little CB friend? He gave me his address, and I didn't once hesitate. Because this hot load of freight is just going to have to wait.
Ooh. Oh, hot load of freight.
He gave me his home address, and I decided to go over there with my hot load of freight.
There's a whole creepy side to this song I never noticed.
That's ugly.
Bear in mind this song came out long before, you know, we were aware of the rampant pedophilia in this country.
Bean immediately went out and bought hotloadoffreight.com.
I turned that truck around on a dime.
Yes, he did.
And headed straight for Jackson Street, 229. And as I rounded the corner, oh, I got one heck of a shock. 18-wheelers were lined up for three city blocks.
Come on.
All sucking
well, I
on
guess
his...
every driver for miles around had caught Teddy Bear's call.
They're trying to help the little kid,
that
Ralph.
Little crippled boy was having a ball. For as fast as one driver would carry him in, Another would carry him to his truck and take off again.
Wow, they're riding it pretty hard.
Well, you better believe I took my turn at riding.
Oh, I got my turn.
Then I carried him back in and put him down in his chair.
Put him down.
And buddy, if I never live to see happiness again,
I delivered my hot freight
that
day.
I saw it that day in the face of that little man.
Oh, right in his face.
We took up a collection for him before his mama got home.
We had to put him back where his mom got
goodbye,
home.
And then they were all gone.
This driver came by and helped put a collection together.
He shook my hand with a mile-long grin and said, so long, Tucker.
Yeah, Tucker.
I'll catch you again.
Yep.
Yeah, I hit that interstate with tears in my eyes.
Yes, he did.
But I was relieved.
And I turned on the radio and I got another surprise. Breaker 19 came a voice on the air.
Who could this be?
Just one word of thanks from Mama Teddy Bear.
Mama Teddy.
A special prayer for you, because you just made my little boy's dream come true.
If only she knew the real truth.
I'll sign off now
truth filled
before
with
I start to cry.
Oh, for God's sake.
May God ride with you. 10-4. Goodbye.
It's Bean.
See, now, I wasn't thinking that they were violating the child.
Dropping off their hot loads of freight.
When I was listening to the song, I was the way the song was intended is this little kid's whole life was brightened up. The kindness of these perfect strangers, and they all were there. And I don't know, it hit me, you know, kind of the right way. And I teared up a little. And I'm
bald
man enough
like
to admit it. And it was obviously big mistake.
Well, it was a big mistake to tell us.
Yeah, that was the mistake.
Every guy has, most guys have something that they tear up at if they're normal. It's just most of us, it's not the CB song about the little crippled kid and the kid dropping off his hot load. John in Redondo Beach, good morning.
Hey, screenwriting is a hobby of mine,
right.
And in virtually every movie, at some point, I will either tear up or tears will be rolling down my cheeks, or if the movie is really exceptional and there's something very poignant, I will almost be sobbing, and my wife will then kind of put her arm around me. But I know there's that little smile on her face, and now we've reached the point where my kids, who are 16 and 10, will be, if they're in the movie with us, you can see them kind of craning their necks around the seat to see if Dad's crying.
That's funny.
And then cringing.
Hey, shut up, old man!
What was the last movie you went to that you cried?
Probably watching at home Ice Age with my son.
Ice Age?
Cry cartoons.
It's a very touching story.
It's
about
a dinosaur comedy.
Who's the father of your children?
You got to talk to my wife about that.
Yeah, all right,
thanks for the call.
All right, what was your movie?
It's the final moments of Rocky II. You know, you got Rocky who, after the first film, has blown through all his money. He's back working at the gym where he started, and his wife, they're having their first baby, and she has a difficult childbirth. She goes into a coma, and she can't come out of it, and he's faced with being alone, and his life is over. So then he goes back, and he decides to fight Apollo Creed. Remember, he gets the rematch?
Yeah.
Right.
And after going through all of that, he wins. He didn't even win in the first movie, but in Rocky II, he wins, and he's the champion of the world.
Right.
And he gets a chance to speak into the microphone when he's up in the ring, holding the belt over his shoulder, and this is the final moments of that movie.
Will, I'm your rock!
Yeah, and I love you, too. Most of all, I want to thank God. Except for my kid being born. This is the greatest night in the history of my life. I just want to say one thing to my wife who's home. Yo, Adrian! Adrian!
See, right there. He's crying.
Now, and they cut to the shot of Adrian sitting at home watching this on television.
And she's sobbing.
And she's bawling.
Oh,
she says, I love
best.
You to the TV set.
That was the best.
And he is, it's like the greatest achievement in his life. He's got it all. That
now,
one moment.
Here's the key to this conversation. Bean, unmoved.
Yes.
No, it was a great movie. It was a great scene.
No, it didn't move me.
All right, let's say good morning to Joe in Cyprus. Good morning.
Yeah, Land Before Time. You know, when the mama dinosaur dies.
The cartoon?
Battle. Yeah.
Cartoons make me cry sometimes.
When the mama dinosaur
A lot of people
dies.
Cried at Bambi, you
yeah.
know?
Oh, Bambi's disturbing.
Yeah. Okay, Joe.
Yeah.
Thanks. You know, for me, I'm the only person that has kids on the show. For me, I have little girls, and any movie where the little girl is upset, I think it was The Patriot with Mel Gibson.
Right.
Yes.
And his daughter won't talk to
his
her.
Little girl wouldn't talk, and then he's going to go back into the battle, and she says, no, I'll do anything, I'll talk. And he's like, that's the first time she's ever talked. I was throwing chairs in the theater, and I was ripping my shirt, sobbing. Go to war, you bastard! Mike in Pasadena, hello.
Oh, hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks. Go ahead, Crybaby.
Well, let's see. I think Kevin's going to be with me on this one. The end of Monsters, Inc., when Sully can never see Boo again. I watched it right after the birth of my daughter.
All right.
Oh, Boo is so cute.
Mike, never tell that to anyone. Yeah.
that was sad. I teared up.
Remember an American Tale, the story about Fifo the mouse, who's looking for his mom and his parents is lost in New York, and he sings that song somewhere
out there.
Yeah. The pale blue sky, a little mouse voice. That made me trouble.
Hey, Mike, go with Rocky. Thank you. All right. Jim in Silver Lake, good morning.
Good morning.
You cry at what?
The Elephant Man.
I am not an elephant.
No, wait, that's not what he says, does it?
Not an animal.
Not an animal. Dude, that's
not that part. The part where the doctor brings him home for tea, and the wife is really nice to the Elephant Man, and she shakes his hand, and he's never had a woman touch him before.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that is a tragedy.
He cries, she cries, I cry.
Dude, I so identify with that scene, too. I so identify.
Never been touched by a woman before?
Yeah. All right, thank you. Thanks for the call on that. Yeah, you know, it was a super emotional movie. I didn't cry, but I mean, I was really devastated by it. It was The Pianist when I went to see that.
The
Pianist.
Oh, The Pianist. Oh,
that one was really tough to watch.
Yeah,
that was. I mean, I just felt beat up.
You want to know
movie.
An old comedy that I always cried at? Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
That's kind of touching at the end.
At the end, when they find out that John Candy has no family, and Steve Martin invites him over, and he says, "That's not pillows." That was
a different scene.
All right, we need to take a break, but I want to go to Kyle first in Pasadena, who says he has a list of movies that guys can cry at and feel okay.
It's
okay.
Good. Yeah, there's about four of them.
All right. Where are they?
Okay, Field of Dreams.
Okay.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah, at the very end when he gets to play catch with his dad.
That's okay. That's good. It's legit.
It's sports.
Go ahead.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, oh, I cry at that movie, too. I'm glad you remember that.
For those of us who aren't permanently emotionally scarred like Bean, you know.
When the money gets dumped on the table and everybody starts contributing to George's...
Yeah, that's good. And he's the richest man in town. Yeah, that's tough.
Absolutely. Right. Brian's Song.
Oh,
sure.
God, yes.
That's an old movie about... Yeah, that, yeah,
football.
That one.
But again, it's got the sports angle, so it's legit, right?
Okay, and The Natural.
It's all sports.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and sports. Other than sports, we really don't care about much.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Guys,
I cried at Ass Freaks number 8.
You did?
Yeah.
7 got me.
Really? Seven?
Yeah, Ass Freaks 7, but 8 I was fine with. It didn't hurt me at all.
Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KROQ.
Our assistant producer, Alex, has joined us. Good morning, Alex.
Hello, good morning.
Alex moved yesterday, and she put all of her stuff into a house with two guys.
At the beach.
And Bean says, which is going to be great. And Bean says to her yesterday, as she's walking out, how long is it going to be before you have sex with one or the other guy?
Mm-hmm.
And Alex says, I'm not going to have sex.
And they're just friends.
I'll just start laughing.
They are.
And we all laugh knowingly.
Yeah.
Well, I think when we mentioned this much earlier this morning, Lisa brought up the appropriate question, which is, do you not drink anymore?
And are they not good looking? And it turns out they're both pretty decent looking guys.
They're both cute. Their friends are cute. So are their girlfriends. Their girlfriends are cute.
And I said, are your girlfriends worried? And she said, no. And I said, oh, stupid.
No kidding. But the thing about Alex is that she's a dude. Though, Bean, that's the thing that you're missing, is that she's just a dude.
She is a dude. I know what you're saying. She is a rough and tumble kind of dude-like person, but she still has a vagina. And what I'm saying is that, I think, I'm not sure.
Thank you, Lisa.
No one's checked.
What I'm saying, though, is the girlfriends are not always going to be there, and it's going to be, 2 a.m., and you and your roomies are going to be sitting around, watching Dave Chappelle on DVD, and it's just going to seem like the right thing at the right time, and it's going to happen, and I promise you,
it's a bummer that I can't have sex with them because they're my roommate. If you were my roommate, I would have sex with you.
That is going to all go out the window at 2 a.m., though, with a little alcohol in you.
Yep.
Come on, Alex, you know that.
No, I don't want to.
You know you.
No, listen, I don't really care about the friendship so much as the place to live. And I don't want to ruin living 3 blocks from the beach.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Your penis is not worth the ocean. I'm sorry.
I actually believe that Alex believes that. But there's these other guys that are involved, too.
Yeah.
That's right.
Honestly,
it's not like you're making the decision in a vacuum, Alex. There are going to be guys who are going to be putting the full court press on you. And it's going to be effective
I got the D. I'm good. Don't worry.
All right. Lisa, what happened to you? You had a roommate.
I had a roommate that somebody actually set me up with. I just need a place to live. And he wasn't home very much. I was not attracted to him. He was a pompous ass and he was doughy. And I still ended up having sex with him.
Because he was a roommate?
It was late and we were drinking.
You were not attracted to him at all?
No. But,
so it was late, you were drinking, and?
Any penis in a storm? I don't know.
Wow.
It just happens. So you, it happens.
Wow. And that's a storm where you pull out the vibrator, girl, and you go and you take care of it yourself.
See, the thing about Alex that you're missing, Bean, is not that she's got a vagina. She is a dude in her mind.
I'm a dude when it comes to how I think about sex. Absolutely.
She's a dude in every way. I've never met a girl that's more dude.
But if that were the case, she wouldn't be trying to come up with all these reasons why she's not going to be having sex. She would just accept the fact that it's going to happen, and she would learn to embrace it.
Christina in Long Beach, hi.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning,
Christina.
Hi, Christina.
Now, you had the exact same feeling that Alex did, right?
Oh, if you would have asked me prior to my moving in, I would have sworn on 10 Bibles that we wouldn't have slept together.
And is that because you weren't attracted to him, or he had a girlfriend, or what?
Well, he was hot, but he had a girlfriend.
Okay.
And we had been friends for years prior to moving in together.
And you didn't want to ruin that.
No, so
you would have done the same thing that Alex is doing, is that Bean and I would have been laughing at you and mocking, and you would have thought, these guys have no idea what they're talking about. I am not going to, right?
Well, people used to ask us if anything was going on because we were such good friends, and we would roll our eyes and go, oh, no, we're like brothers and sisters.
So tell us what happened.
Probably won't happen. We had been friends for 3 years. We used to, like, one of the guys, I was laughing when you guys were saying she was like one of the guys, and we just moved in together, and I was going through a dry spell. He had a girlfriend at the time, and just after 6 months, we went out drinking to watch a friend's band play, and we came home, and our eyes crossed from the hallway, and, you know, I swear Marvin Gaye came on, and that was it.
There it was, and there's nothing you can do about it.
No, not at all, and it was great, and it was grand, and it happened a couple more times, and it just got messy, and we moved out, like, within 6 months.
Oh, you ended up having to move out. Well, that's what Christina said before she moved in.
Well, Christina didn't love her house the way I do. Okay. Okay?
Christina, hold on for a Kevin and Bean t-shirt, okay?
Okay.
All right. Let's keep moving. Let's go to Amanda in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
How long did it take you to sleep with the dude?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks. Okay. Wow.
Were you as sure as Alex sounds now?
Absolutely.
Alex, how many of these calls in a row do we have to take before you start to realize maybe you don't know everything
on
this topic?
We could take calls all hours of the day.
You Jennifer. Are going to have to stop drinking, I think.
Jennifer in Huntington Beach. Well, good morning.
Let's not get crazy, Lisa.
Hi there. Yes. Tell us what happened to you.
Basically, I held out more than any of these girls. I held out for like a year.
There you go.
And these guys were like my best friends. I had two guy roommates. And everybody kept saying the same thing. Like, oh, dude, you guys have hooked up, blah, blah, blah. And one night we went out drinking. Ended up having sex, and I drank many times before with these guys. Nothing ever happened, and then I ended up marrying him a year later.
Married him.
Oh,
married him.
Look at that.
Married
That's
him.
Like when Harry met Sally, best friend. I'm married. Not moving in with my best buddy, my married best guy him. Friend yet.
Not married yet, him. You're not, but you don't know what the relationship's going to be like with these guys in a year.
Kelly in Fullerton, good morning.
Good morning, party people. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Kelly.
Tell us your story.
I was in college, and I was living with two guys. And they both had girlfriends, and I had a girlfriend at the time.
Nice.
Ooh, good job.
I'm bisexual. And their girlfriends didn't have any issue with me living with them because I was in a relationship with another girl, so they didn't see it as a possibility. Yeah, it took about 3 weeks. For
3 weeks.
Yeah.
3 weeks. Hold on for your t-shirt. Thank
People's
you.
People's threshold is very, very low.
One last call. This is Mila in Glendale. Good morning, Mila.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Hi, Mila.
Now, you did not plan on sleeping with your roommate.
No, he moved in with us, actually. I was living with three of my girlfriends, and about a week later, we started sleeping together, and just to finish my story, I have a two-year-old daughter right now.
Now you have a daughter. Okay.
Oh,
there's,
perfect.
There's the happy conclusion right there.
Perfect.
Do the other roommates have daughters, too, by now? Or?
No.
Okay. All right, Mila, thanks very much. Let's go to Mike, who is the roommate. Good morning,
What's
Mike.
What's up, roomie?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, man. Hey, have you heard heard the phone conversation?
Yeah, and I'm not moving out, Alex.
Oh, they're already going to divvy that up, right?
Tim's going to have to move out.
I like that.
Now, Mike, this is Bean speaking. You're the one who works at K-Rock, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, but let me ask you I want you to try to be as honest as you will be, please. Has it occurred to you, even as the discussion has come about in the last few weeks, that you guys are going to move together, that Alex is an attractive woman, has it occurred to you, wow, I really would maybe end up sleeping with her, I'd like to, or I think that might happen? Have you ever even thought about it?
I'm not going to rule anything out.
Nice. Nice. That's a smart guy right there.
That's my guy down the hallway.
And my follow-up question is, now that you've heard Alex, who's so full of herself with how she can resist anybody, now are you going to make it your sworn mission to get her in the sack at some point?
Hey, I saw her after Acoustic Christmas last year.
Oh, no.
And There you go.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
A little trash, was she?
I just say that if I was the guy on the other end of her arm, then that would have been a fun night. Probably.
Yeah, it's happening. All right, now here's the deal. Money has started a pool out in the other room.
Great.
Dave has 4 months. Money has 5 weeks.
Well, we've seen Money's picks.
Lightning has 2 months. I think I'm going to go with. I think I'm going to go with 6 months. I think she's pretty strong.
I think she's strong, but I'm going with 9 months because I think in the middle of the summer when she's all skimpy dressed and they're at the beach, so nine months.
Bean.
Yeah. Puts her in July.
Wow, these are some great. You know, I'm going to just pick something in the middle. I'll say 3 months.
Oh, my God.
I'll go three months. But, I mean, there's no question. I mean, no one is picking it's not going to happen. I mean, it really is just a matter of time.
Or Acoustic Christmas.
Even now, what do I win if I never sleep with them? What do I get?
Your place in Redondo Beach.
My house.
You get the comfort of your convictions, Alex, is what you get.
So, congratulations.
Thank you. All right,
Mike, good luck.
Yeah.
Bye, Rumi. See you later.
Hit that thing.
All right, we'll see you later, Rick and Bobby. All right.
Hey, everybody. This is Ricky Bobby. You know, when Kevin and Bean asked me to be a part of this Christmas CD, I said, hell no. But then, when they told me it was for charity, I said, no again. Anyway, one big K-Rock endorsement deal later, and here I am. Now, those of you that follow NASCAR already know that Christmas is my favorite holiday and that baby Jesus is my favorite of all the Jesuses. So I thought what I'd like to do is take this opportunity to send the little baby Jesus a special Ricky Bobby birthday wish. And it goes a little something like this. Dear baby Jesus, so small and in your little infant manger just cooing and making noises because you don't know how to talk but still being holy. And beautiful and cherubic, and your skin and so fresh and not sunburned yet, and you smell like a baby does, which is usually like baby powder or some sort of liniments and oils and myrrh, because you're holy, and that's what the wise men brought you. They brought you myrrh and incense and so like a flashlight or something. I can't remember how it goes. But dear little baby Jesus, happy birthday to you on this glorious day. I mean, it's a great day. It's your birthday. Hey, it's your birthday. You probably want to go to Vegas and party with your buddies. But you're just a baby. You can't drive a car. But you could hire a limo service or maybe get a cheap flight on Southwest. They leave like every half hour. Get a suite at the Mirage. You know, party down with some other your baby friends. I don't know. You do whatever you want to do. It's your birthday. So celebrate it. And I want the people out there to celebrate it and think about you, the little baby. Who looks over us all and drools. Amen.
And now it's time for another episode of Cooking with Walken. And here's your host, Christopher Walken.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special holiday edition of Cooking with Walken. I love Christmas time. It's such a joyous season. And part of what makes it so special is sharing wonderful food with friends and family. So today, I'll be showing you how to prepare an entire Yuletide feast. From a delicious appetizer of crab-stuffed mushroom caps, all the way through to a decadent dessert of chocolate bread pudding with bourbon pecan sauce. But don't worry. Because we all know Christmas calories don't count towards your waistline, right? Okay. Now, to make sure everything times out right, we're going to start backwards with the dessert. So, let's get started. As you can see here, I've got a little milk, 2 cups of cream, and 1 cup of sugar. And we're going to boil this mixture in a large, heavy saucepan before we add the chocolate. Now, where did I put that saucepan? Oh, I know. Everybody, that uncomfortable hunk of metal is
in my ass.
That's right. Now let's see. All right, there's the handle. Oh, dear God, it's big. Oh, sweet mercy. And here it is. And look, It's got some chocolate already in there. Now, I already prepared this 13x9 baking dish of pudding before the show. So while I show you how to make the sauce, let's just pop this into the oven that we've preheated to 350 degrees. What the f***? This oven is cold. The pilot light's not even lit. Whose job was it to preheat this oven?
Mine.
And what's your name?
Ken.
Ken. Ken, why didn't you preheat the oven, Ken?
I turned it on, but I guess I didn't check the pilot light. I'm sorry, Mr. Walken.
Oh, don't worry about it, Ken. Come over here. Let's do it together now.
I'm really very sorry.
No, forget about it. Oh, my God, would you look at that?
What?
Take a look in there, Ken.
Where?
In the back there. Get your head in there. There, Ken. Do you see that? You know what I see? It's your f***ing life slipping away. You useless motherfucker. Get this piece of filth out of my kitchen. What are you all staring at? F*** you. The show's over. Get out. I said get the f*** out. Is Ken all right?
He's dead.
Oh, no. Well, let that be a lesson to you folks watching on your TVs. Most accidents happen in the home. Safety first. And Merry Christmas from me and my ass.
This is the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
What kind of city is it? Is it a tourist city? What does it do?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Well, it people
sits there right on the river and looks out. That's what it does.
Houses people.
What's it known for? Old
That's roads. What I meant.
What is it known for?
Not what you said.
What's your city do? Why didn't you ask what's it known for then? I mean, it seems like that. Those are words that all would have come fairly
what
easily
kind
to
of
you.
What city is it? You could have asked.
I don't know the answer to that question. If I knew the answer to that, I wouldn't do
what
it, guys.
What goes on in your city? You could have asked. What does your city do?
What does your city do?
Well, he understood me, and he was Pakistani.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why he understood you.
You know, I'm glad that you've contributed a new moment with Kevin to the long, long history of those, because I feel like we have gotten to the point, and Ralph, help me out with this, that we're starting to take Kevin for granted.
Absolutely.
And we don't realize what a broadcasting legend we have in our midst. He's a national treasure, and sometimes I think we all just, hey, all it's just Kevin. You know, we just see him every day. We don't think about that what he's contributed to the industry.
The brilliance.
Agree. Yeah. Yeah. It must have been like the rest of the Beatles working with John Lennon, where they, you know, everyone on the outside said, this guy is a musical genius for the ages. And everyone's like, oh, it's just John. It's just our pal.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And sometimes you have to sit back and say, it's amazing the body of work Kevin has amassed over the years.
But, I mean, it was less than a week ago that we had Rashida Jones on from The Office. And, you know, a lot of people think Kevin peaked, you know, back in the late 90s. I'm telling you, Kevin's doing the finest work of his career now. I'm saying he's as strong today. He's like an athlete who has just hit a stride late in life, and he just astounds everybody. Let's roll the tape from The Office, Chick.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
It's like word jumble.
It's a code.
I have a strange prism that all my thoughts go through, and then it just scatters the words every which direction. I don't know
why. See, I don't think you could have even pulled that one off when you were younger. I think, honestly, you needed the experience and the maturity that you have today to be able to make magic like that.
Yeah.
How about...
We don't need to keep going with
this. Well, I'm just saying,
it's stunning the amount of work that you've created in the past past few years.
What about, Mike, see if you can find the one where we had that guy on who had like 12 kids or something like that. And Kevin had some interesting observations about what the sleeping arrangements must be like in that home.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Now, which sex is your oldest?
We have a boy, Joshua, that's 16.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Come pretty here a couple years. I think the banjo music in the background made Kevin think he was from the Ozarks.
I would like to think that's true.
What do you think happened there, Kevin?
I'm telling you, I have a prism. There's some kind of weird thing that goes on where I know what I want to ask, and yet the words somehow get all jumbled up. I don't know.
It's such a short distance from your brain to your mouth, though. You wouldn't think that there'd be that much
but I've
chance
got a big
for
head.
Confusion. That's true.
It's a little more distance.
It does rattle around in there.
Now, one of the things that I appreciate, Kevin, helping us out with
is... don't we have something else to do?
This is a tribute to you.
Yeah.
You should appreciate this.
Enjoy this. It's your moment.
Kevin is in show business, and he thinks of things the rest of us don't, because, you know, we'll see the Blue Man Group, for instance, up in Las Vegas, and we'll think, hey, that's the Blue Man Group. But Kevin is the guy who's willing to ask the tough, tough questions.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man Group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I don't have an answer for what happened there. There's no word jumble or anything there.
It's right in the name.
It is in the name, yeah. Blue. And there's only one color in the name. Only one.
Blue Man Group. They're a group of blue men.
Yes.
And yet you insist that they paint their face red. Why would I say red?
I don't know. I can't imagine.
What about when we take Kevin out on the road?
What about when Kevin's in front of people? Here's the mark of a true champion. Sure, you can win at home. Sure, on your home field advantage, you can rack up the big yards. But winning away, that's the key when you're on the road.
And I got to tell you that there are college students over there at USC who are still talking about the day Kevin came to town.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
This is the eighth day, which means the theme is eight milds making. I'm sorry, eight maids a milking. This is the eighth day. It means today's theme is eight milds a.
Damn it, I got to stop drinking.
That was a moment with Kevin.
That was actually at UCLA. It was the UCLA USC thing,
and right. There we go. Okay,
they were serving me skillets, which is a skillet with
a frying pan liquor. Full of liquor.
Yeah.
Ralph, you mentioned earlier it's your pal Mark Paul Gosselaar's birthday today.
Okay, seriously.
Oh, yeah. And if I recall, Kevin did a very touching tribute to Mark Paul some years back.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Mark, so you're starting tonight, and are you a permanently on the show?
Yes.
Hey, by the way, if you see Botchko, tell him that we're so over there is not anymore, right?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Oh my Lord.
That was a full-blown stroke.
It was.
That was an embolism.
You would think after the first one happened, I would let someone else speak, but I jumped right back in.
Back off, man. I don't have it today.
All right. It's
Hold on.
We're going to take a quick break.
I personally love the way that you make your own expressions.
What are you talking about?
You know, we have certain expressions that we use. It's the cherry on top of the cake or whatever, that kind of thing. And you are so creative that way. You take your own way with those words.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And we're going to try and do that, but it's really difficult to get anything by because they watch us with a fine-tooth comb.
It's hard to do.
We're watched with a fine-tooth comb? Really?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Now, I have a request.
Ralph Garman, obviously, is our expert when it comes to showbiz stories.
Well, thank you.
But every once in a while, Kevin will throw a little spice on top of a showbiz story. Do you guys remember when Tom Cruise proposed to Katie Holmes at the Eiffel Tower?
Oh, sure.
Kevin crystallized that perfectly, I thought.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You got to wonder if there were no cameras, if he would have had to go to the top of the Eiffel, of the wherever the tower to get you know.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
All right,
he had Eiffel and tower, but he just couldn't put them next to each other, and that's
Access Hollywood is still calling to try to get him. All right, one more, because is there anyone who comes to mind quicker when you hear Anaheim Ducks than our man Kevin? I mean, seriously.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Is that so? He doesn't. Are you a regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I am retarded.
Hey, everybody. What's up with Kevin? I've been a big fan, long time him.
It's the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
This is a real-life story, not made up, not the Weekly World News. It's for real. It really happened. A Serbian man needed emergency surgery after sticking a pencil inside his penis. He, uh,
our friend Zeljko Tupic from Belgrade had had some erectile difficulties in the past, and he was getting with a new woman, and he thought, ooh, how embarrassing would that be for my first time? I want to make sure that doesn't happen. So he decided to insert a pencil into his penis.
Yeah, that's what I would have done.
Now, first of all, every guy listening thinks to themselves, that sounds like the most painful thing in the
world.
Sure
does.
How is that the idea he came up with? Has he not heard of Viagra or anything else?
So we're talking about things that you've done to your genitalia, not by accident, but on purpose, that have had tragic results. Let's start with Elisa. She is down there in Bell. Elisa, thanks for holding on.
No problem.
So obviously you got to be very careful how you phrase things, but what were you trying to do to yourself, sweetheart?
Well, I was taking pictures, and I used cucumbers and other things, and I decided to use an egg, and I pushed a little too far when I wanted to get one more. It was like almost all the way, but it actually went past the point of no return. And
oh, no.
Wow.
I tried sticking my fingers up there and gripping it, but okay. I couldn't grip it. And
right.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't hard-boiled, so...
It wasn't?
No.
You're dumb.
How long did you have to sit on it before it hatched?
Hey!
It was about 15 minutes. But I'm pushing and pushing and pushing.
And you finally got it out?
I finally did get it out. I thought I was going to have to break it. And I was like, oh, no, the eggshells. I was like, oh,
yeah. Oh. If it had broken, that would have been bad.
So,
that was really bad.
So you didn't hurt yourself, though. It was just kind of inconvenient.
No, I didn't hurt myself. The egg came out whole. Which is good, but I never tried that one again.
I'd like to buy that egg from you, Elisa.
Oh, Bean.
Let's go down to a new dish at Denny's, I think.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Let's go down to Colton and speak with our man, Paul. Now, I'm sure that there are an awful lot of people who have a similar story to this one, but Paul, we're going to let you tell it first. Go ahead.
This was probably about maybe I was 12 years old, in the shower, and I'm thinking, okay, this might be cool. I'm going to use a shampoo bottle. And not only does my thing get stuck, but after I get it unstuck after about 15 minutes in the shower, I realize that the shampoo has, like, dried around it, and therefore it started peeling, and it was peeling in off of my penis for about a week.
Oh man. Hey, you're so lucky you were able to get the bottle off of you. Can you imagine at 12 if you would have had to call your mom in to help with that?
I would have stayed in the shower for the rest of my life.
Yeah, at 12, there's no way you're asking for help. You'll take your penis off by yourself first before you talk to anybody about that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. All right, dude, thank you very much for the call. Let's go down to Los Angeles. Let's talk to Brian. Now, Ralph, you're going to be very surprised how this guy's thought process worked out. Brian, good morning. You're on the Kevin and Beach on K-Rock. Go ahead.
How you guys doing today?
Hi, Brian.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Hey, back when I was younger, I managed to get myself in a little trouble, went to prison, and sometime along the way, I picked up a case of the crabs, and rather than risk the shame of having to actually go to the doctor and say, look, I got the bugs, I decided to, I found some floor stripper, you know, that stuff that peel the wax off of floors with.
Yeah, the stuff that takes varnish off of wood.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I kind of lathered myself down there, and I'm sitting on the toilet while I was doing this, and all of a sudden, I felt this intense burning, so I'm, like, splashing water up from the toilet onto my junk. By the time I was done, I'd eaten off probably 3 or 4 layers of skin down there.
A little bit of hair.
Mm-hmm. And I had like a scabby sack for about a month after that. It wasn't good.
Scabby
by
sack.
By the way, you beat me to it.
Opening up at Acoustic Christmas this year.
Brian, afterwards, though, you had to think to yourself, wow, why did I think that using floor stripper would be a good idea to my junk? I mean, come on, really?
Well, of all the bad decisions I've made, I think that's probably the least.
I guess
did you
so.
Have no sulfuric acid lying around the house you could have used, Brian?
Dope. No batteries laying around, no.
I can't tell you how
many
stories...
I only hope the crab survived. That's the only thing I can hope out of that story.
Can't tell you how many stories I've started out by saying I got into some trouble and went to prison and picked up a case of the crabs.
Sure.
All the time that happens to me. Let's close with one more. Let's go to Burbank and talk to Brian. Now this, I'm glad this is going to be the last call because I'm going to need to vomit afterwards. Brian, what'd you do, pal?
Hi.
Yes, Brian.
Hey, how you doing? I pierced my own penis with an IV catheter when I was in the Navy.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Well, I didn't trust any of the, like, regular piercers that
sure,
I knew.
Sure, right.
But you just had to do it?
Well, I was a hospital corpsman, so I knew all the medical procedures and stuff. And so I figured, it would be sterile and all that kind of stuff.
But what about the pain? I mean, doesn't that make it kind of difficult to operate on yourself? It had to have hurt.
Well, yeah, of course it hurt, but it was like a one shot. You just kind of pop, and then it was through.
Yeah, how'd that go for you?
Actually, really well. I ended up getting to use it about 3 days later, although it was kind of like, oh, yeah, ow, ow, ow. Oh, yeah, ow, ow, ow. But, you know, after a while, it healed up nicely.
Okay, so no complaints then. It sounds like you hurt yourself, but on purpose, and you were fine with it.
Yeah, actually, my fiance loves it. It's not bad.
Yes, it is bad. It's a bad choice on every level. How bored were you in the Navy? Did you start to say, oh, I got to start piercing my penis?
I was in for about 2 years. After about the first year is when everything went downhill.
But yeah. How about a little more time fighting Charlie and a little less time mutilating our service? Is the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ.
After the tummy tuck and the forehead tightener and the nose job, something still might be giving away your age, and that is your voice.
Ah, there you go.
For patients who think their trembly, raspy, or wispy words don't match their newly firm face, there's a procedure that claims to make them sound younger. It's a...
Hello.
It's a voice lift.
Hello.
You can get a voice lift to make you sound younger.
And I would imagine if you do a lot of work on the phone, and maybe you're not even that old, but you sound old, this would be really cool. Although, how do they do it?
Well, sometimes what happens is, I'll tell you how they do it in just a second. We have the doctor on hold.
Right.
But, one of the doctors is quoted as saying, there are people who pay $15,000 for a facelift, and as soon as they open their mouth, they sound like they're 75 years old.
Right.
Because there's wobbles and tremors, and they just, their voice has become old because of a side effect of the other surgery. So you can.
All right.
Is this a
perfect example of someone who could use the surgery.
You can actually get a voice lift, and I thought we would talk to the doctor this morning and find out just exactly how it's done.
All right.
Is this Dr. Young or who are we speaking with, sir?
This is Dr. Robert Sadilov.
Okay, good morning, Dr. Sadilov.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
We're doing fine.
Me too.
You heard on hold, we were talking about the voice surgery that you are doing there in Philadelphia.
Absolutely, yeah.
Can you tell us in layman's terms, please, how it is done? Is it a shot? Do they actually cut open your neck? What do they do?
Here at Graduate Hospital, we have two different techniques we use to make the voice sound more youthful and more pleasant.
Okay.
First of all, you can get implants inserted through an incision in the neck, and that brings the vocal cords closer together.
Implants?
Yeah.
Huh. You're very happy.
I am.
Okay.
And listen how great my voice sounds.
It does. It sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
It's
very soothing, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to ask if you've had the surgery. Is this you post-surgery, or you've just been...
I've had eight. Eight surgeries.
How old are you, sir?
I'm 41.
Okay.
But my voice used to sound like this.
Oh, I see.
But now I sound much more pleasant on the phone, don't I?
Okay, now how does that work if you just get implants?
It brings the vocal cords closer together.
Okay.
Giving them a more gentle timbre.
I see. All right.
Or we can have substances like fat or collagen that can be injected right into the cords, and that plumps them up and gives the same youthful limberness.
Really?
Absolutely.
Now, what kinds of people come into your office for the surgery? Is it folks who have phone jobs, like Lisa said, that they just sound old?
Absolutely. People who spend a lot of time on the phone. People who yell quite a bit and find their voice gets hoarse in the course of the day. Also, professional radio personalities like yourself.
Is that right?
To make you sound more youthful, more hip, more with it.
Because we talk so much for a living, our voice is going to start wearing out.
And people would like to hear something nice when they turn on the radio, don't you think?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Should I start talking like this?
I think you should. It sounds pretty good to me.
How much is the surgery?
Well, it varies. We can start you off at around $15,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a little pricey. We're still working out the kinks.
Then I don't want the surgery yet.
About $10,000.
Okay, fine.
Now we're getting better. Now,
$75,000.
Okay, $7,500. Great. So many of these surgeries that we hear about for the first time, it's because celebrities who have nothing but money to burn are the ones who are making them popular, making their need for the service. Do you have any celebrity clientele at your office?
I've got a waiting room full of them right here. As a matter of fact,
right now.
Yeah.
No kidding. Who do you have there?
Oh well, Jack Nicholson's here.
Can we talk to Jack?
It's his birthday. He's having a little voice work done.
Oh, he already...
Let me get Jack. Oh,
fantastic. Jack Nicholson. What a surprise.
Yeah.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good, Jack.
Glad to hear it.
You sound much younger.
Yeah.
See, it's a good thing.
Wow.
You can't handle the truth.
Why? Kind of sounds like Jack on helium a little bit.
You may have gone a little too young.
I think you need a lot of drinks, Lisa Mae, to kill the bug that's up your ass.
But Jack, a guy like you who's famous almost for his voice and for his delivery, it enhances the characters that you play in the movies. Why would you want to get the surgery?
Well, it turns out the ladies love it.
Oh, is that right?
And with all the yelling I do at Lakers games, it's kind of been rough on the old windpipe, you know what I'm saying? Okay.
I guess that makes sense. Wow.
Absolutely. Now, I think it's really turning out pretty well. But, what the hell?
Hey, Jack, it's changing as you talk. Jack, it's changing as you
talk. It sounds like a duck.
It's gone horribly wrong.
Oh, no. I hope they can reverse this.
What's going on?
What? Jack? Jack, we're having trouble making out what you're saying. Jack? Hello, Jack?
He squeaks when he laughs.
It sounds like Jack needs to go back in for some more surgery.
I think he might have tightened my vocal cords up a little too much.
Yeah, a little too much. Well, good luck with that.
Hey, thanks so much,
Billy. Okay, bye now.
Happy holidays, folks. This is Bob Christmas Hope live at the shopping mall, you know. I'm wearing a Christmas suit. Going to ask a bunch of kids what the hell they want for Christmas, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, what the hell's your name?
Torten.
How old are you?
Four.
Four? Holy crap. I got pieces of turd older than you. All right, what the hell do you want for Christmas, huh?
I want, let me see.
Blue cheese, that's something else, yeah.
Dinosaurs.
A dinosaur? How about Dick Clark, huh? Yeah, there's your T-Rex. Breaker 19, this is Bob, kid. Come in, tell me how old you are, you know.
What?
Hey, what's your name, kid?
Nellie.
What the hell do you want for Christmas?
I want, how about...
What time is it?
Half.
Holy sh**, what an outfit that is, huh? I ain't seen snot like that since General Eisenhower checked into the 777, you know?
You know what I want for Christmas?
No, I don't want to talk to that one. He's ugly. Can you hear me through the beard, kid? That's what Rob Halford said to me the other day. Judas Priest, everybody. Is that something?
Yeah.
What's your name, kid?
Denlin.
Hey, yeah. Hi, this is Bob.
No.
How about that Buddy Ebsen? Ow, don't poke me there.
Yeah.
Dolores! You, kid, with the drool on your head. What the hell you want for Christmas, huh? Is this thing working? Yeah, the mom with the ass. Come on over here. I got a question for you, kid. Hey, what's your name, kid?
Joshua.
Yeah, scoot over, kid. You're squishing one of my nuts, you know? How about that prostate? Is that something else? Yeah, it hurts. Now, tomorrow I'm going to the proctologist, you know? Yeah, he says he saw a top flight Z2 stuck up my ass. Hi, my name is Bob. What's your name?
Ivan.
What do you want for Hanukkah, kid?
Mega Rumble.
What's that?
Mega Rumble.
No, you're not going to get that, sorry.
Blue and pink.
No, Santa doesn't like you. When I say, what's that, what's that? What am I, what's that? Mary, what's that to you? What? What's that? Hi, and welcome to the deck of the USS Nimitz. I'm Bob Hope. What the hell's your name?
Alex.
What do you want for Christmas, huh?
A red car.
What the hell kind of car do you want, kid?
Cadillac.
Yeah, it's too ghetto in this mall, huh? What's your name, kid?
Garrett.
All right, I'm Santa Claus. What the hell do you want for Christmas?
Tow truck.
Yeah, tow truck, huh? Yeah, that's what they use in the Starsky and Hutch show to get David Soul out of the cocaine. Yeah, all I want for Christmas is a lawsuit, you know?
You're crazy.
Hey, kid, hop up on my lap and tell Bob Claus what you want for Christmas.
Baseball and basketball and soccer. Paul.
Ah, this kid's diaper's wet. Dang it. Merry Christmas, everybody, from Bob Hope. And remember, be sure to ride with the Star of Bethlehem on the Texaco Road. Mall security, come over here, mall security. I got a corn dog in my face.
6.7 KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Morning, Mike. How are you?
Hi, everybody.
Mike took the bullet yesterday and went down. You cruised on by the Ryan Seacrest, star of the Hollywood Walk of Fame ceremony that was happening?
Sure did. Sure did. And very appropriate that it was in West Hollywood.
Now, is it true? First of all, I have two things before we find out your observations. One is, I heard on Access Hollywood yesterday, and I swear to God this is what they said. I haven't independently researched it. Robert Redford doesn't have a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. No star for Julia Roberts. No star for George Clooney.
Wow.
However, Ryan Seacrest now has a star on the sidewalk.
Right where he got his star was right next to Tony Curtis, Frank Sinatra.
Oh, people we've heard of that actually had careers?
Kermit the Frog, Groucho Marx, Greta Garbo. These are the people Ryan Seacrest was wedged between.
You're kidding.
Wow. Is that not an atrocity?
Yes, it's an atrocity. And again, I want people to realize that just because we are competing with him, we don't think we should be there either.
Right.
Like the Kevin and Bean, we don't deserve a star there either, because that's for superstar actors and actresses. It's not for little DJs.
Curtis and Groucho Marx and the kinds of people and the way Julia Roberts and George Clooney, for God's sake.
The way I look at it, that is one of the biggest tourist attractions in all of Los Angeles. So when people are coming from all around the world to come to the Hollywood Walk of Fame, they should see people that they all recognize.
Exactly. Now, and if they don't, if they start filling it up with the Ryans of the world, then people are just going to go, well, this is nothing. There's nobody here I recognize.
I heard that Chris, the fired apprentice from last week, is getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh, it's true. It's true.
It just becomes worthless.
And number two was, is it true that there were a lot of people down there to see the presentation?
Psycho Mike's estimate would be about 1,000 people.
Psycho Mike's estimate would be that?
Yes.
Did you ask him? That's what he said?
I had to talk with him in the other studio before I came in.
That's a huge turnout. It seems to me.
I was worried that I was going to get down there. It wasn't going to be enough people to talk to.
Right.
And it was a major going on.
Okay.
So it was a big deal. And it really bugged me because, like, I've always wanted to be in show. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I've always wanted to be in show business. I've always wanted to be in comedy. And just a guy who just doesn't have a modicum of talent to go up there and everybody's patting him on the back and giving him this type of acclaim really got under my skin. But, you know, there were plenty of people there that loved him, and I got to talk to a lot of them. What has Ryan Seacrest done that's so special that he deserves a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
And he makes American Idol to me.
So it's not the talent of the singers or the performances, it's the host.
For me, yes. Well, he's very talented.
Okay, you know, you said he's very talented. What are some of the things he's done to exhibit talent?
Just the way that he holds himself on television, I think, is really good. So he knows what he's talking about. He's really professional.
You think he's cute?
Oh, yeah.
Who's better looking, him or me? Seriously.
Ryan, definitely.
Go f*** yourself.
Sorry.
Now, from a gay man's point of view, do you find him attractive?
Yeah, I do. I like the boy next door type.
Gay men tend to have a little bit more of an astute gay radar. What does yours indicate when you're around Ryan?
I don't think he's gay.
You don't think so?
I just don't get that from him. I think he's just a straight guy who's really into his looks.
Are you a big Ryan Seacrest fan?
Yes.
What makes you such a big fan of him?
He's a wonderful host.
And you think he makes the show? You think he actually contributes to the show's success?
Yes.
What are some of your other favorite television shows?
Joan of Arcadia, the George Lopez show.
You have fantastic taste in television.
Thank you.
What are you doing here?
I'm here to see Ryan get a star, of course.
What are some things he does as the host of American Idol that makes him so special?
Well, I like that he's so genuine. I think that's the biggest thing, that he's just a real person.
Yeah, because when I think Ryan Seacrest, the first thing that comes into my mind is genuine.
I don't know him, but...
I do. He's a terrible man. And it's only fitting that it's on Hitler's birthday that he gets his star here on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Gosh, that's horrible.
What are you doing out here honoring Seacrest?
I love him. I just want to give him a bubble bath.
Do you think this is deserved, him getting a star here?
I think he deserves this because he's worked his way up.
What do you like about Ryan? What personally draws you to him? What makes you a fan?
His fresh face, his ability to talk.
Excuse me, I think you just said his ability to talk.
He can dress well.
He does. Yeah, the guy dresses well.
For a homo.
Are you a big Ryan fan?
Ryan actually raises money for the hospital that these kids are patients at.
Do these children stay at the psychiatric ward of the hospital because they are Ryan Seacrest fans? Are you a big Ryan Seacrest fan?
Yes, I am.
Watch American Idol every week?
Every week.
What does Ryan do that makes you such a big fan of him?
He's very likable. He's a very friendly person.
He's very friendly. Have you ever met him in person?
No, it's the first time I've ever seen him.
So you're assuming he's a nice guy and that he's friendly?
Well, he appears very friendly on TV, yeah.
Are you heterosexual?
Straight. I'm very straight.
You still proudly admit that
that you're a Ryan Seacrest fan, huh?
Yeah.
All right, good for you, man. You a big Ryan fan?
I'm impressed with him, yeah. I think he does a very good job.
Did a very good job at what?
At emceeing.
Emceeing American Idol?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You think he really contributes a lot to the success of the show, or is that just mostly the talent that they showcase?
Both. Yes, I do. I think he does.
If someone else were to host that show, say Jimmy Kimmel, would you still be such a big fan of American Idol?
No, I would not.
And why is that?
Because I think Ryan really makes it.
If someone sliced up his face with like a razor blade and he's really ugly, would you still like him just as much?
Yes, I would.
Do you listen to him on the radio?
Yes.
And what do you think?
He's very good.
He's the best broadcaster in Los Angeles, right?
Yes.
Oh, easily.
Mm-hmm.
Much better than, say, Kevin and Bean?
Yeah.
Oh, easily, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the bits he does on the radio that you really like?
Well, you know, he introduced the people who made the top 40. I like how he does that.
Yeah, because that takes a lot of talent. You know, it takes an exceptional person to do that, right?
Yes.
Are you on any medication today?
No.
Have you been drinking?
No.
Has anybody ever used the word mongoloid or retard around you?
No.
Thanks a lot, dude.
All right.
Oh, God.
Mike.
Yes.
Just because Ryan's retarded doesn't mean all of his fans are.
I'm just checking.
Or does it?
He's just checking, that's all.
So he got that for his radio work? Because not one person there mentioned his radio work.
Listen to me. He got the star on the Walk of Fame for his radio work, and it had nothing to do with American Idol.
Uh-huh. That's so funny.
So
no radio fans there, really?
You people, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever with that one.
We're out.
I just, it seemed like a surreal, like a parallel universe.
Well, that was a job well done. Thank you.
It's the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Very exciting. I think, Ralph, you may have been out one day last week when our friend Doto came in. Doto, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah,
K-Rock. How are you?
What's up, Bean? How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thank you, Doto.
Full energy today. It's good. Yes. Yeah, because at least I work up early.
Yes, exactly.
And the traffic's not too bad.
Very good.
Good. Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that, Doto. So as you know, for a number of years, Doto has been telling us that he wants to be part of the entertainment industry.
Yeah,
he'd like a career in showbiz. Right.
Yeah.
And so we kind of pinned him down on it last week. We said, Doe, that's kind of broad. It's kind of going to be difficult for you to take that next step if you don't have a more clear-cut career path. Where specifically would you like to see yourself? And Doe said to us, much to my surprise, by the way, that he'd like to be on stage at a comedy club. He thinks that's his foot in the door for entertainment because he can make people laugh.
So we came up with the open mic night.
Yeah.
When anybody can go down to a club.
Absolutely.
And step up on stage and try out their material.
Great idea.
Right?
That's how you hone your craft.
So, Doto, this is going to be your big entrance into show business. This is going to be the way
Absolutely.
Your first step happens.
But I haven't done it for a long time, Kevin.
And a lot of years from now, people are going to look. You used to do it?
No, me. I haven't.
Oh,
like I haven't done it for a long time.
A long time.
You mean you've never done it?
But I can give it.
Okay,
I
good.
Back to it.
A lot
yes,
of
can.
A lot of years.
Yes, you can.
A lot of years from now, people are going to be asking you how you got started as a comedian,
okay.
And you're going to say, "My friends Kevin and Bean pushed me into open night."
Yeah, my friend. And Kevin Bean pushed my butt to open night.
Exactly.
Yes, we pushed your butt to open night.
Yeah,
exactly.
Ralph.
Now,
Ralph, you're our showbiz expert on the show. Isn't it true that there's not a comedian in town, and I don't care if it's Jerry Seinfeld or Jay Leno or Jim Carrey or whoever you want to name, that didn't get their start with open mic night? I mean, that's it, right? That's how you do it.
Absolutely. There's no other way. You have to go and stand in line, and they give you a number, and you get up there, and you get a chance to show at least, you know, 3 to 5 minutes of your stuff. And if you're good, they invite you back to another night, and that's how it all begins for all these guys.
Now, what kind of course, when you're preparing an act, Doto, you have to start from the ground floor. What kind of comedian are you? Are you an observational comedian? Do you tell stories? What do you see as your niche?
Like what I see is my niche. I tell story and I make stuff up, Bean.
That wasn't a joke.
Oh,
yet.
Sorry.
I kind of make it up in my own mind.
Okay.
So you're gonna have original material. That's good.
Yeah.
But what are you gonna base your material on, Doto?
Is it gonna be like the headlines?
No. I'll,
news.
I'll,
current
I'll,
events. Your own personal
I'll,
life.
I'll base my material today. I will be on something like current events, but I kind of make it up to my own words.
Okay.
Good. Good.
Okay.
Observational humor.
Yeah.
I see
okay.
that you have a piece of paper there. Did you bring in some something on a topic?
Kim Jong-il.
Kim Jong-il. Okay,
North
great.
Korean president.
Kim Jong-il. Something.
That's
good.
Prime Minister.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you're Asian. And
I'm
when
Asian.
You get up on stage, people are going to say, oh, here's an Asian guy. And you start talking about Asian dictators and stuff. There's a tie in there already. It's good. It's a theme.
But I have more to talk to. This is just to get
off the course. Of course.
Sure, of course.
You're not only going to do jokes about Asians in the news,
no,
right?
No. I'll do jokes about anything, Bean. Mr. Cigar, Steph of the Salesman.
Who?
And Death of the Salesman.
Oh, Death of the Salesman.
Like we did a couple years ago. Remember, Ralph?
I do.
Steph of the Salesman.
Okay, yeah, remember yes. we did a scene from Death of the Salesman. We had him do a little
That's
acting
right.
before.
I do remember that.
I thought he said Stephen the Salesman. I didn't know who Stephen was.
Now, of course, the great playwright Arthur Miller, who wrote that that play, just recently passed away. Would you incorporate him into your act, Toto? You got some hilarious Arthur Miller material?
I would incorporate him. The only way he would need to make it to succeed is eat more German chocolate cake.
That's right.
Right.
And that's
now
that's
we need the rim shot. That's where the rim shot
goes. The world is owing him damn thing.
Okay. Now, Doto, we'd like you to act like this is your big shot and get up on stage and try to deliver your Kim Jong-il material, and then we'll kind of coach you and give you some ideas of how it's going.
Stand up or sit down?
Whatever you'd like.
Whatever's
stand
more comfortable
up if
you
like, and I'll introduce
but
you.
Try to talk into the mic.
Yeah, you got to talk into the mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, our next performer, Doto. Come on up, Doto.
Okay, my name's Doto, and Kim Jong-il is the Prime Minister of South Korea, and he loves German chocolate cake because it makes his breath smells good and also enhances his chance with the ladies, especially 5'8", 5'9" Korean girls. The sugar sugar increases his brain, so he's all ep up, so he can blow up the whole entire world with nuclear bombs.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's not good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not already very, very good. But are there some ways we could improve maybe the humor quotient in your material?
Yeah.
Well, we're just getting started. Let's hear the rest of some of the material before we start digging in.
Okay. Right? Finish out the material.
Okay. Once he was captured in South Korea, he went to the government took him to a mental health hospital, and he was barking and screaming and then for lobster and for steak.
All right, keep going.
And then they found out that he has an FBI, and then he needs to go to therapy, and then during prison time, he was imitate Ross Perot. The reason why.
See, sometimes you have to wait to find the
That's
good
right.
material.
That's right.
I see. It's slow build.
Can I do it now?
Yeah, sure.
The reason. Okay, Ross Perot. Like he was imitating Ross Perot.
Okay, all right.
The reason why I'm up here tonight is I want to give all the Americans a tax break so that we will provide less government.
But you're not running for president.
He's doing Ross Perot. He's doing
Ross Perot.
So Kim Jong, he's doing Ross Perot, like
imitating. Oh, impressions too.
Yes. I apologize.
Yeah, okay, I want to introduce less. I want to provide like less government, more jobs, and I want less bureaucracy.
Now that's uncanny. That's as if Ross Perot's in the room with us.
It is, but do you have any concerns that maybe the Ross Perot material isn't maybe as fresh as it might have been in 1992 when he ran?
Yeah, maybe that's a little outdated. Maybe.
Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah.
I mean,
we might need to punch it up a little bit.
Don't be discouraged. I mean, you got a terrific start with the Kim Jong-il because it's very timely, very much in the headlines. But I'm a little worried when you veer off into the politics of the early 90s.
If you don't mind, let's start with the first joke, which is Kim Jong-il likes German chocolate cake.
No, he likes German chocolate cake. The reason why he likes German chocolate cake is it boosts up his energy to blow up the whole entire world.
Okay. Now, that's not a joke.
Okay, I'm sorry. No,
sorry.
German chocolate boosts up his energy, so it will make him gain weight, so he will be more hyperactive.
I'm saying there's no punchline, there's nothing funny to laugh at there.
It could be true, it could be an observation that you're making about Kim Jong-il, but in comedy, though, there needs to be some sort of a laugh payoff at the end of that.
Yeah, some kind of laugh. Anything where it makes you laugh.
See, but he hit on the fact that Kim Jong-il is fat, so you could take off on that, because fat jokes are very popular.
Right.
So you could say, he's so fat, Doto,
How fat is he?
No, he's 580 pounds.
Well, see, that's not really a joke either, because that's just a number.
It's a number, but it's not a punchline.
Let's try it again. Kim Jong-il is so fat.
How fat is he?
He's so fat.
No, so that's, you're just restating what we said initially.
Somebody give him an example of a punchline. See, that's what we need.
Kim Jong-il is so fat that when he sits around the house, he really sits around the house.
He really sits around 24/7.
No, that makes him sound inactive, but it doesn't really demonstrate how fat he is.
The punchline is that when he sits around the house, meaning that he's just lounging around the house, he really sits around
the
house.
He's so big, he sits around the entire house.
He sits around in one of his lovely mansion.
Yeah. Okay. Doesn't matter whether it's a house or a mansion. I think you're missing the point.
It's not a punchline either.
Wait, is this a condo or a house on the street, Ralph? I'm not sure.
I don't think it's that important, really.
Let me get a phone call real quick. Arvin in Glendale. Good morning.
Hey, you guys need to have a head-to-head stand-up against Dotto and the Armenian comedians.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Wow, that would be
that
powerful.
That would be a comedy night
that's
to behold.
Really, that's really too much, too many laughs per minute.
I mean, it'd be like Star Search. We could have them go, and then you have to vote, and whoever wins, you know?
All right, so, Doe, we need some kind of punchline with some kind of laughter.
You've seen comedy, right? You see the stand-up comedians on television sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And do you see what's different maybe about their act from yours is the laughs?
They're a little bit more humor, I mean.
Yeah, a little bit more humor. Well, exactly.
It's not
that's
just
all we're saying.
It's not just that there's a little bit more humor. It's just that there's some humor.
See, the premise with the joke is you have to set it up fairly straight, which is what you're doing. This is good with Kim Jong-il.
Okay.
And then you say, boy, this guy's really crazy, something we all kind of accept as a known fact. And then you have to come up with some of the kind of clever or surprising thing you say after that, and that's where the joke comes in. So if I see you, Kim Jong-il, that guy is crazy. He's so crazy that...
His IQ is 190.
See? That doesn't make him crazy, though. That makes him smart.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. I think we can work our way through this.
Yeah, I mean, we're close.
Dotto, you're brand new at this. No, but you don't come out of the gate with material. I mean, this is the learning process. This is why we're trying to help you for your open mic night. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. We really want you to do well.
Edgar,
we're trying to help you here.
No.
Good morning, Edgar.
Hey, good morning, guys. Lisa?
Hi, Edgar.
What do you think?
Matt, oh, my God. Dotto is so funny. I'm right here laughing.
There you go.
I know you guys are helping him out, but...
That's what we're talking
see?
About.
There you go. You got your fan first already. Guy.
All right. Good. Now, this is working. See?
Now we're cooking.
Now we're cooking. Exactly.
Yes.
Now we're cooking.
Well, maybe we reiterate some of these tips for Dotto as we show him the door this morning, and maybe he works on the material using the suggestions we've made. We had him back in maybe another time and see how the material is improved before we debut it in front of a live audience.
I think that's a good idea. And it really is very difficult to write jokes. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. It's really tough to write jokes. So,
especially on the spot like this. I mean, it's going to take some time for you to sit down and think about the things we've talked about, but I think you're definitely on the right track.
I think we have a great foundation.
You know, you could say, Kim Jong-il, he's really dangerous. He's so dangerous that if I was president, I would...
If I was president, I would do what he says.
See? There you go.
This is the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
So you're Benicio del Toro, and you're a, you know, by all accounts, a good-looking guy. You got an Oscar on the mantle there. You're making millions of dollars for pictures. It ought to be enough, right?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. You have to take it a step further and have sex with Scarlett Johansson in an elevator at the Chateau Marmont.
And so would you if you could.
No kidding. That works.
Come on. He's 37. She's 19. London Sun newspaper says that Scarlett Johansson has admitted to having sex with Benicio del Toro in an elevator.
I love that. She was spotted rushing off with him after a party. And then she invited Benicio up to her room after kissing in front of a bunch of amazed onlookers. And he said, fine. And they started going up to her room, but they didn't make it.
But they made it.
Before lust took over on the elevator.
That's funny.
You can't wait 30 seconds to get to the
room.
No,
it's passion.
You've got to do it in the elevator right now.
It's something that you will never understand, Bean. It's a word called passion.
Yeah, sometimes it just has to happen there. And sometimes being in the elevator makes it even more exciting.
So he's 37, she's 19, and they're going up to her room, and they cannot wait. So they get into this tiny little elevator. And apparently, according to onlookers, they did not care who was looking. It was surprising because she was so stunning, and he is hardly a hunk, according to this. My wife finds him incredibly
attractive.
The ladies
think he's very sexy.
Yeah, he's really sexy.
People were referring to them as Beauty and the Beast. They walked through the lobby. They did not seem to be embarrassed at all, to be all over each other. Then they got into the elevator. It doesn't say if they stopped it. And had sex, or if they just...
Bean, how many floors could that elevator go?
Is that a euphemism, or are you asking about this?
I'm asking how tall that hotel.
It can't be more than four or five floors.
It's not that
floors,
big, right?
Five,
yeah.
Six
it's
not a big hotel.
That's what I thought. This isn't like
you're in the Empire State Building. Right. And you've got 80 floors with which to make do. I mean, you got to either go fast or you got to stop the elevator.
But
I imagine.
Here's the way she described it: we were making out, or having sex or something, which I think is very unsanitary.
Well, if she doesn't know the difference, Scarlett, you want to make out?
Wow, no kidding.
I might have done that once.
Who had sex?
God bless you.
In an elevator.
It wasn't going home either. It's on our way out to go out. We couldn't wait.
That is what I'm talking about.
Who was the other girl? You remember?
No. It was a guy.
Oh, wow.
And,
a guy, okay.
And we never had sex before.
Really?
First time in an elevator.
Yeah.
Was this your first... Wow. Is this your first date?
Yeah.
Nice. Lisa puts out.
Lisa is a goer.
Wait a minute. This was your first date? And you had sex in the elevator before you went out on the date?
I know.
He didn't spend one nickel on you at that point.
Hold on.
I know.
How many times had you met him?
Oh, I'd kind of been working with him worked in the restaurant. So, I, you know, we'd been flirting for a long time.
Okay.
It's not like it was building a blind up. Date. I've got to have you.
Yeah, okay.
It'd been building up, exactly.
Now,
so, right in the elevator.
How did it start when you got in the elevator to go down?
We just started kissing and stuff, okay. And then he flipped the button.
And he hit the stop, and then you knew it was on.
Yeah, and I was wearing a skirt, so it wasn't real hard.
Look at
Now, he flipped the button. That was a move?
Both a move on the elevator and on me.
And on her.
All right, I understand.
And then the alarms, you know, whoop, whoop, whoop.
And it's ringing.
But it's just
you don't care.
Yeah, it's just an apartment elevator. It's like three floors. You know, nobody's really
worried
too much. So
and,
it stopped. It doesn't take long, obviously.
Did he finish?
I don't remember. This is a long time ago, but...
You didn't, I'm sure, because women take like an hour.
I would have had to start alone in my apartment before he ever got there for that to happen.
For quite some time.
I don't know.
See, that's why
I don't remember.
By the way, let me just say this. That's why this is so cool of women. Because they know when they get into that elevator that they're not going to finish.
Yeah.
It's not about them.
It's just good fun.
It's just good fun.
And a good story.
I love that.
But women aren't, in this respect, Lisa, am I right about this? They're not as goal-oriented. In other words, you can still enjoy the sex even if it doesn't have the big finish.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you still like it.
Yeah.
Now, did you guys still go out, or did he look at his watch after the elevator was over and he said, oh, you know what, maybe I got to go? Or was there still a date at the end of that?
No, there was still a date.
Okay, now, what did you do? Do you remember what you went out and did after that?
No, I don't remember. It was a long time
ago.
And I don't
after
remember
the
what we
date,
did
you go back to the hotel room and do it again?
Absolutely.
Twice in one night.
Absolutely. Well, we had business to finish
Of course.
Yeah.
That's right.
That was the only time. That was the once in my life.
Was part of the charge, hey, we're in an elevator and we shouldn't be, this is not where we ought to be doing it, and that makes it a little more exciting?
Totally.
Was anybody waiting at the bottom?
No one.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lisa,
for
helping us out with that little story, because that actually helps. Warren in North Hollywood. Good morning.
Good morning.
You had sex in an elevator. There were only three floors in the building.
Yeah. It was one of those old school elevators. Mm-hmm. You know how the door opens first, and then you have to pull the door open?
Right, sure.
Right.
So, and there's a little window in the middle of the door that you have to pull open. So every time we have to stop and, you know, we're looking out the window, make sure no one's standing there.
I got you.
So we just keep going.
Now,
I was 15 at the time, so I didn't know what was going on.
Well, you were 18. Clearly you were 18.
18 is what you meant to say. And you were with a girl you worked with, and you guys were getting ready to leave the apartment on your first date, right?
No, that was Lisa. Oh.
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering. Three-floor elevator? I don't know if it's Warren or not.
What's your name?
I like Lisa remembers the guy's name.
Now, Warren was...
an ex-girlfriend.
It was an ex at the time?
No. The ex-girlfriend
then it was
now.
Your girlfriend. Okay.
Then it was my girlfriend.
And you had already... But you had already had sex with her other times. It wasn't like Lisa May the first time was in an elevator.
Oh, no. Yeah, I had sex with her many times before that.
All right. Thank you, Warren, for calling.
Thank you.
I got to tell you, I got to give it up again for Lisa May. First time they had sex was in an elevator.
I'm very proud.
That's
a proud moment for me.
Doug in West LA, good morning.
Yeah, morning, Kevin and Dean. Morning, Lisa May.
Hey, Doug.
You're on vacation in Hawaii.
That's right. I just finished the 98 Pack Cup, which is a race from San Francisco to Oahu, and met my now wife there.
What did you race on in?
Oh, on a sailboat.
Okay.
Ah. Yeah, so after eight days of racing with a bunch of guys, you're pretty horny when you get to Hawaii.
Sure.
So a couple of nights later, we'd been out partying and went back to the hotel. It was pretty late, and we were riding up in the elevator and couldn't wait until we got to our room, so I just started something. And I would say that within two floors, she reached the big O.
Whoa, please.
Wow.
She was totally all over it.
If you're really,
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 charged,
really, 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 really ready.
Yeah,
she was pretty. She was pretty ready too, I guess.
Very, very ready. Yes, no doubt about it.
Wow,
and you know
fantastic.
The issue about whether there are video cameras.
Yes,
you know, in 1998, in a big hotel, I'm certain there are.
Yeah,
and I bet that tape has not been erased.
It's not been erased, right? Mm-hmm. No, I actually saw you on the internet yesterday.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug. Debbie.
Yeah,
you had sex in an elevator.
Well, my ex-husband is an elevator mechanic.
Right.
And so I went up there to meet him for lunch. He was doing the service on the elevator, and we got in to make sure it was working okay. And, you know,
you were doing the service on the elevator, right?
Make sure that it's working properly.
Working really well, actually.
The pulley system has not been working like it used to. But he was able to shut it down.
Yeah.
And give you as much privacy as you needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bogus. That's bogus. That's cheating.
That is cheating. Hey, Debbie, did that elevator have as much up and down motion as you were hoping?
Hey!
It was swinging on the cable, you know what I mean?
Lisa, you used to have AOL.
I did used to have AOL.
How'd that go when you decided maybe you were ready to move on to greener pastures?
Well, I heard how hard it was to get off of AOL.
Right.
I'd heard that from a lot of people. So
they have detox centers.
I did. I did go online to try to find out how I could do it online, and right. I couldn't find any place to do it.
You mean they don't have if you want to cancel AOL, here's the number?
They didn't have. Well, I thought I could just do it online,
right,
first
of
all, but
sure.
You can't. There's
you can't
no
cancel
place.
It.
You have to talk to somebody if you want
to,
okay?
Someone. And then there's no phone number. You can search the AOL website far and wide. There's no phone number to call.
Isn't
to
that
cancel.
Interesting?
So what do you do if you want to cancel?
I went, I did a search for cancel AOL, and I found people's blogs and their stories and stuff, and they listed the phone number. I don't know where they got it. But and then I read all about how they did it, what they said to the person.
No kidding.
And I kind of followed the script, and I called the number, and I was able to do it. But the guy was really so crazy persistent. It was insane.
It's like the Da Vinci Code. You had to follow all these different codes and figure out how to get through.
I guess they figure that a lot of people will just quit trying because it's too hard. Or
obviously.
They'll just go, well, I was going to cancel, but now I don't know how to, so I guess I'll just continue to use it or something. And that's how they make their money, is charging you every month. So.
I probably hung on 6 months longer than I would have.
Yeah.
Just
wow.
Knowing how hard it was going to be.
Well, that's a story that I've heard many times over the years. And it's back in the news this week, and I don't have anything in front of me on this. Do you know where this guy was from?
Someplace.
Okay.
Some dude with
this
a phone.
Some dude, someplace with a phone who was in the same spot that Lisa was, finally was able to track down that elusive phone number and tried to cancel his AOL. And here's what happened.
Hi, this is John at AOL. How may I help you today?
I want to cancel my account.
Sorry to hear that. But pull your account up here real quick. Can I have your name, please?
Vincent Ferrari.
Been this account for a long time?
Yep.
It's just quite a bit. What was causing you to turn this off today?
I just don't use it anymore.
Do you have a high-speed connection, like a DSL or cable?
Yep.
How long have you had that? The high-speed?
Years.
Well, actually, I'm showing a lot of usage on this account.
Yeah, a long time ago. Not recently.
Okay. I mean, is there a problem with the software itself?
No, I don't use it. I don't need it. I don't want it. I just don't need it anymore.
Okay. So when you use this, use the computer. I'm saying that for business or for
Dude, what
for
difference
school?
Does it make? I don't want the AOL account anymore. Can we please cancel it?
Last year was 540. Last month was 545 hours of usage.
I don't know how to make this any clearer, so I'm just going to say it one last time. Cancel the account.
Well, please. Explain to me why.
I'm not explaining anything to you. Cancel the account.
Well, what's the matter, man? So, I mean, I'm just trying to help here.
You're not helping me. You're helping me with the
I am trying to help.
Helping me, listen, I called to cancel the account. Helping me would be canceling the account. Please help me and cancel
No, it wouldn't,
account.
Actually.
Cancel
Turn
my
off
account.
Your account.
Cancel the account.
Worst thing that...
Cancel the account.
Okay, because I'm just trying to figure it.
Cancel the account. I don't know how to make this any clearer for you. Cancel the account. When I say cancel the account, I don't mean help me figure out how to keep it. I mean cancel the account.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't know what anybody's done to you, Vincent.
Could you please cancel the account?
All right. Someday, when you calm down, you're going to realize all I was trying to do was help you, and it was actually in your best interest to listen.
Wonderful. Okay.
That sounds like a joke. Come on,
guy was trying to get him pissed off to hang up so he wouldn't cancel the account.
That was unbelievable how many times he had to say that.
Do we have that number? Because I can't believe that's for real.
You don't think it takes that long to cancel
no.
the account?
No, I mean, how can it? Once you say you're out, then they don't have any choice. You're legally, they have to cancel you. They can't wrestle you for an hour, can they? Let's dial it up because that just sounds like somebody's having us on there. I don't know.
I bet those guys get paid every time they talk you out of it.
Yeah, no kidding.
I bet you're right. Probably get money taken out of their paycheck for everyone who cancels.
Yeah.
Hello. Thank you for calling the AOL Automated Service Network.
Oh, automated is even better.
We here at AOL believe that you belong.
Right.
And while you're on hold, think about upgrading to AOL High Speed for broadband. We think everybody should be fast. Don't you?
We'd like...
Please hold for your menu of selections.
Okay.
I was recording. It's better, though. It's better. You don't have to talk to somebody. That way they can't spend all your time trying to talk you out of it.
Plus, you get to listen to this snappy music.
Yeah. Why can't they ever get better music?
Hello, and thank you for calling AOL's Automated Service Network.
Hi, we'd like to cancel.
We give you four choices. One, if you'd like to upgrade to high-speed AOL for broadband, press 1.
Nope, no.
2, if you have a comment or suggestion for AOL, press 2.
No.
3, if you'd like to pay your bill over the phone, press 3.
How about a cancel?
If you'd like to cancel, press 4.
What?
What? I'm sorry, can we hear that
again? I'm sorry, you pressed 4. That must have been an accident.
No.
That's for canceling your AOL account.
Right.
We'll give you another chance. For 1, press 1.
What?
For 2.
I don't even understand that. What do you mean for 1, press 1?
To upgrade your AOL account to high speed, press 1.
No, we just want 4.
For a comment or suggestion,
hit 4 press again. 2. Just hit 4 again. Let's get
to
past
pay your
this
bill,
menu.
Press 3. You pressed 44.
No.
That's nothing.
I pressed 4.
44 is not an option.
I pressed 4
several
times.
Here are your choices. 1, to upgrade for broadband.
You know what,
press
upgrade.
1.
Come on.
Right. 2, for
just
a comment
Kevin,
suggestion,
hit 4 just
2.
Once. Just okay. Hit it once.
To pay your bill, press 3. Hey, what are you doing?
Canceling.
You hit 4 again.
Right.
That's to cancel your AOL account.
Right.
That's insane. Nobody wants to cancel AOL.
We do.
We're the best internet provider on the internet.
Cancel us.
To take it back, press 5.
No, we don't want to take it back. How do we continue? How do we continue?
If you'd like to upgrade to broadband,
no!
That's a comment suggestion, press... Okay, you want to quit AOL.
Yes!
All right, here are your choices.
All right. Okay, finally.
If you've come to your senses and realize you don't want to quit AOL, press 1.
No, that's not it at all.
If you realize what a horrible mistake you've made in deciding to quit AOL, press 2.
No, we want to quit.
If you'd like some time to think about it, maybe sleep on it overnight, press 3.
We called to cancel.
If you'd like to get a new AOL account, press 4.
No.
If you'd like to sign up friends and neighbors for AOL, press 5.
What about canceling?
If you decided you really want to cancel,
yes,
hang up.
Hang up.
Hang up.
How that won't work.
All right, press 6.
He's already adopted it as his war. Pentagon and national security officials are briefing the Obama transition team about how bad things are in Afghanistan.
A few months ago, commanders were saying they needed 15,000 more troops in Afghanistan. Then they said 20,000 more troops. Now, Admiral Michael Mullen, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, says there may be 30,000 additional U.S. forces sent to Afghanistan next year.
But they all add, troops alone won't win it. And now with a special traffic report, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The 405 freeway, one of the busiest freeways in Los Angeles. 3 months ago, they were awarded $730 million to build a 10-mile stretch of an HOV lane. That now has been canceled.
The budget traffic jam in Sacramento means the Sepulveda Pass lanes won't be completed. The lawmakers have all gone home for Christmas. The state goes broke sometime in February. Out of jail the day he was sentenced, Cyrus Yazdani, better known as Bucket, one of L.A.'s worst tagger vandals, had been locked up since last May, so he got time served, but he'll be out there scrubbing walls for 256 hours. His claim to be a graphic designer, which is what taggers always say they're doing, is offset by the bill for $150,000 in property damage. Lakers, Trojans, and Bears all win. Rain again tomorrow. 50s today, 46 at K-Rock. I'm Doc of the Rock.